And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's approaching 5 minutes past nine and it is Tuesday, the 30th of July, 2024. How are you all keeping? I really do hope you're feeling well today and life is going well for you. You are tuned to the 9 till noon show. We're here, of course, for the next 3 hours. As I mentioned, just before 9, we've a really busy show, as we always do, of course. Community Guard information, our regular slot coming up after 10. And then, of course, a little later on, we'll have the Mary from Dunloe Festival, which is ongoing at the moment. And there are 14 women taking part in that competition. Or I don't know if the phrase is a competition, but anyway, they're all vying for the crown of Mary from Dunloe, and they'll all be in studio with us, as has become tradition, part of their week of activities, I suppose, before the big crowning Sunday night, next Sunday night. Yeah, this coming Sunday night. They'll be in studio with us chatting to them as well. So if you have family and friends of any of the women, make sure they can watch it as well. They'll be able to hear it, but also can watch it, because we stream the show live on YouTube every single day, Highland Radio Ireland. You can see our remote and in-studio guests live, and you can watch that on your smart TV or your Fire Stick as well. Let's get to the newspapers. And I only found this story in one paper, but it was so horrendous, and I was watching it yesterday, and it moved me so. And I just thought I would have to mention it. And this is the awful situation in Britain where two young children have been killed. Neighbours have told how they rushed to help blood-soaked children after the excitement of a dance workshop was shattered by a horrific knife rampage. Two youngsters died in the mayhem. Nine others were hurt, six critically. Two adults were also badly injured as they desperately tried to protect the children aged just 11 to 16. A boy aged 17 was last night in custody after being arrested by armed officers on suspicion of murder and attempted murder. Not much known of him other than he was born in Cardiff. The bloodshed began when a knife man burst into the Taylor Swift themed dance workshop at around 11:45 yesterday. Moments later, shocked residents heard terrified screams coming from inside and outside the building. What is going on in the world whereby someone, for whatever reason, could see fit to do something like this? It's just absolutely horrendous for everybody involved, for the families of those injured, and particularly the deceased. It's just unbelievable, unimaginable. Let's go to the Irish Times now. And the United States is leading a diplomatic drive to deter Israel from striking Lebanon capital Beirut or major civil infrastructure in response to a deadly rocket attack on the Golan Heights. Washington is racing to avert a full-blown war between Israel and the Iranian-backed Lebanese movement Hezbollah after the attack on the Israeli-occupied Golan killed 12 youths at the weekend, another atrocious act. According to five people with knowledge of the effort, who include Lebanese and Iranian officials, plus Middle Eastern and European diplomats. But, I mean, listen, it's clear the United States has Netanyahu's ear. He was over there. And he spoke in front of the upper and lower house there. His words constantly interrupted by people getting to their feet and clapping and applauding. So it's quite clear he has very strong links to the Americans. And if they veto his plans, well, that should be it, shouldn't it? We'll see. Israel and the US have blamed Hezbollah for the rocket strike, though the group has denied responsibility. Apparently more and more of us are staying at home for holidays. It doesn't seem like that, because everyone on Facebook over the last few weeks seems to be somewhere else, Lanzarote, Tenerife, Turkey, wherever they might be. But anyway, apparently more and more of us are holidaying at home. The number of people opting for staycations is soaring once more. Having previously enjoyed a boom during the pandemic, new figures have revealed that Irish people took 3 million overnight trips in this country at the start of the year, which is 400,000 more than in the same period in 2023. But I wonder, where are they going? I mean, I'm not saying it's a reality, but it's certainly a perception. And obviously the weather is going to play a factor, but I think there are other factors as well in terms of the price of restaurants, bars and accommodation, particularly post-pandemic. I think a lot of those prices went up when maybe, I don't want to get shot for saying this, but maybe they didn't need to go up quite as much. Are we shooting the goose that lays the golden egg? Because to me it feels much quieter around the place, all places. I've been around an awful lot of the county touring. And it seems there aren't as many people around holidaying as you might expect. But that could just be my perception, or is that a reality? Lots of people choosing to camper vans and that type of holiday. But I just don't get a sense of as many tourists, either from other parts of the country or around the world in the county. Is that a reality, or is it just my poor perception? Let me know, 086 60 25,000. But people are spending on trips, of course. In January, February or March of 2024, €576 million was spent internally by Irish people. At the same time, Irish residents took 2.5 million trips abroad, with 52% of them to another EU country, Central Statistics Office figures show. But as I say, maybe there is as many tourists about. It just doesn't feel that way to me. Let me know what you think. On to the Sun this morning. And bad news for drivers, of course. Drivers are facing a €2 hike in the price of... Oh, before I move on from the... a lot of people get annoyed by the term staycation. But someone said to me they came to Ireland for a cool station, which is a vacation, which is an American word, of course, because it's cooler here, that the rest of Europe is roasting, Southern Europe, and they came here for a coolcation. Have you ever heard of that, a coolcation? Apparently we're a coolcation destination now. You heard it here first, but don't get angry at me. Yeah, drivers are facing a €2 hike in the price of filling their petrol tank tomorrow as the final phase of tax cuts on fuel is lifted. The government were last night urged to make a last-minute U-turn on the increase. Sinn Féin claim the rise will see drivers in border counties flock to the north for their fuel, which will punish businesses in the Republic. Excise duty on petrol and diesel was lowered after the Russian invasion of Ukraine caused the price of fuel to skyrocket. The government have been introducing this tax in a phased manner over the past year after petrol and diesel prices stabilised globally. So heading towards €2 on average, €2 extra per fill of tank. Is that going to drive people to the north for fuel? Maybe you're a border business and you've got a view on that. Let us know. We haven't really heard from many of them, it has to be said. Cockfighting is not something I thought was still a common practice. I'm sure it's not common, but I didn't think it happened at all. But according to the Star, Gardaí discovered 15 dead roosters and seized 70 roosters alongside evidence of suspected cockfighting following a search of a private residence. A suspected animal welfare incident is being investigated by Gardaí following the receipt of a report of a suspected illegal cockfighting event taking place at a private residence in County Monaghan on Saturday morning. That was on the 27th. At around 11 a.m. on Saturday, after receiving the report, Gardaí then arrived at the scene where numerous people fled. Gardaí received the assistance of the Department of Agriculture and obtained a warrant to search the residence under Section 45 of the Animal Health and Welfare Act 2013. During the course of the search, 15 dead roosters were discovered on the property, while a further 70 roosters were seized by Department of Agriculture personnel. Looks like a cockfighting event. As I say, I just thought that was a thing of the past. But you never know what's going on, do you? Down the back roads or on the main roads or wherever it might be. And lastly, joyous scenes from Paris, of course. Mona McSharry's hometown of Grange in Sligo went wild last night as the 23-year-old swimmer claimed Ireland's first medal of the Paris Olympics, taking bronze in the 100-metre breaststroke. Speaking in Grange last night, her grandfather, Paddy McSharry, said Mona had fulfilled her dreams and made the whole country proud. All the proud moments have come now, and we're so delighted that Mona has achieved her goal. She has been a world champion previously, and the Olympics is her second try, and she got the medal, he said. And listening to her interview, and of course she's not doing many, she'll do her initial sort of post-race interview, I presume, because she's still got lots of competition to take part in. But what an amazing achievement. And the margins are just unbelievable, like 0.01 of a second ahead of fourth, and I think 0.3 seconds covered all first four. So that's how tight it is. And of course, she had to contend with water in her goggles just after diving in. They filled with water, and she had to overcome that as well. But absolutely amazing. And there is a brilliant picture of her on the front of the Irish Independent and in many papers, and giving people just that wee lift that they might need on this Tuesday morning. Hello, Deirdre.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on fantastic. I'm home from Holland now for a holiday, so I'm enjoying everything, getting great weather, thank God.
Yes, you brought the weather with you. And
I certainly
you're having a bit of fun to celebrate your friend's birthday. I used to hitchhike everywhere. It used to be a thing.
But exactly that. You see, I'm of that age where that was what how we got around. So that's what I'm doing now. Well, we're celebrating a birthday, so instead of having a big party, we decided we'd do something different and have a bit of crack. But I'm talking Donegal crack here, not the, if the Americans are listening, it's not that kind of crack.
Aye, exactly. Well, unfortunately, there's different types of crack in this country now as well, but I take your point. So tell us what you and your friends are doing to celebrate your friend's big birthday.
Right. What we are planning to do is leave at 10 o'clock from Carndonagh Church, mm-hmm. because the church, we have to go in and light a candle because we're going to be praying for this. And we're heading down. Normally, it was going to be three teams and we were going to go north, south, east or west. But because there's only two teams going out, one team of two people and one team of three, we're going to go in the same direction with a half an hour between. So the competition's really going to be stiff, like, because we're going to be cheating like hell. This is my cheating now, because I'm asking people to give me a lift.
Oh, don't worry about that. We'll get to the cheating. But what is the goal here? Do you have to arrive at a certain place by a certain time,
yeah.
or just get as far as you can from anywhere, or what's the challenge?
Yeah. Right. The challenge is to get as many points as you can. So if you start at Carndonagh Chapel, take a photograph there, that's your 20 points in. So that's your first ones. And then if you go to Mallon, you have to find the carving on the trees there. So you have to get a photograph there. If you go to Kildare, you have to find a gravestone in the graveyard with my mother as the only thing on the gravestone. As a whole story, a whole history thing there. And then if you get to Lag, you have to get to the chapel, you get 20 points. And up to Mallon Head, not to Bamba's Crown, which people would probably think and probably, you know, if you were logic like you would be, but we're not logic. So we are going to the curiosity shop. You get there. You get to Glengarry Pier, you take a photograph there, or Moville. My granny and granddad are from Moville, and they've graveyards. They're in the graveyard there, so you have to get to that. So there's just different points. You get 20 points if you get to these ones, but there is a possibility of getting more points to get to more difficult places. So 50 points if you get to Green and Isla, Fort Dunree. If you get up to Cooley Cross outside Moville, there's a cross there, and there's a hole in the cross, and if you throw a stone through it, you have to make a wish. So mm-hmm. those are the things that you have to do. So that's the whole gist of it, is just getting from A to B, collecting your points, taking photographs, and seeing who can win at the end of it. So we're going for 2 days.
Do you know where you're going yet, or have the destinations been drawn, or what's the crack?
Right. Where if it was more teams, we were going to go different directions.
Right,
but
I get you.
Because it's only two teams, we're going one direction to make the competition like
so
more.
So you're going to go to all the places we mentioned there, as many as you can.
As many as you can. Whoever takes us, if we can get a lift anywhere.
Yeah,
if I get into a car and say, right, I'm going to Kildare, I'll go to Kildare.
All right, Deirdre, but you can't have some fella land up or some woman land up and say, right, Deirdre, hop in and drive you around for 2 days. You have to switch cars, obviously. You have to thumb. I mean, I don't mind a bit of cheating.
No, look, it's about cheating. Mm. If somebody comes, it's just to me, they're taking me everywhere. I'm getting into that car.
I think it should be bonus points for every different car you get into, but I'm not the...
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I might throw that rule in. See, I'm making the rules here,
so
I can cheat whatever
exactly,
I want.
Exactly, yeah. Bonus points for switching cars, and you have to have proof of that as well.
That's a good idea. Thanks a million for that one.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm the brains of this operation.
You're
all committed not to cheat, so yet here we are. You're on begging for lifts. How will people recognise you other than you'll be standing on the side of the road with your thumb out?
Well, let me tell you, how many times do you see old buddies like our age going out thumbing? They'll know. they're the ones that were on the radio there. Look, they can see I'm left.
But Deirdre, you don't want to give the other team any competitive advantage, so you could sort of have people drive past them and make sure
they
pick you up.
Well, I could do that, I couldn't do that. I'm way kind-hearted. I couldn't be doing that. I want to share. I love everybody.
You're kind of... This is your plan to celebrate someone's birthday. Yeah, exactly. You get the half an hour head start. So you're kicking off at 10 on in Carndonagh, heading south, is it?
Yeah, heading down to north Mallon.
Heading north and going to Mallon first. Okay, excellent.
Right.
And you're going to be at this for 2 days?
Yeah, we're going to be doing that for 2 days. Well, you see, you start at 10, finish at 6. You have to be back at the place to start at 6 o'clock, otherwise you lose points.
I get you. So you're going to land back at Carndonagh this evening?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. and then celebrate, of course. Because
but it's a
I'm
shame a hotel couldn't have put you up so a different destination. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, instead of going back...
No, but there's no place like Anishon. We were thinking about doing it all over Ireland.
Not at all.
We said no. No, because Donegal or Ireland, they said, what was it in the National Geographic? Ireland was the coolest place on the planet. Donegal was the coolest place in Ireland. And Anishon was the Ireland of Donegal. So there you go. Where would you want to go? Where else would you want to be?
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. And come here, what's the prize?
The honour of winning.
Okay.
There you go.
Does the losing team not have to buy the drinks this evening?
I'll give them a glass
of wine. No, the losers should have to buy the drinks this evening.
That's a great idea. See, look, you're brilliant. You're brilliant.
You're
fantastic.
I know. Yeah.
That's it.
So bonus points. The more car. Now, obviously, by the way, sorry, Deirdre, I do have to say that the second team leaving do have half an hour's grace. You can't have a half an hour head start, right? So
yes,
if they
you
are,
can, because there's three of us. No, I'm not giving on that.
So you're saying to me that if they land 20 minutes behind you in Carndonagh this evening at 6, you're actually going to take the win?
No, you can't,
because you had a half an hour head start, Deirdre.
That's tough titty for them, not for me.
Titty. I haven't heard tough titty in a long time. Have you ever said that to a Dutch person?
I haven't. He's asked, can you translate that? And I said, no, sorry, just leave it.
We'll just leave it at that. Right, okay, so you're going to have fun. I can guarantee that anyway. That's no doubt about that.
The crack will be
90, I would say, and people stop and we'll have a bit of fun with you as well. Tell me you're taking photos or wee videos for your Facebook or whatever social media you're on as well, Deirdre, when you get in the cars and stuff.
Oh, we're definitely doing that. I see. This is where what I said. This is a thumb up for all the mature ladies out there who like to have a bit of innocent fun.
Excellent. All right. Or maybe not so innocent. Let's see how the day goes.
It doesn't matter. Look, if we land in Mallantown and we don't get any further, the hotel's there. It's grand. There's a room. There's a bar. Not a big problem.
Come here.
I'm cheating.
You must have a good group of friends that they're all up for the crack and to take something like this on, Deirdre.
They're my sisters.
Your actual sisters or sisters from other misters?
No, they're sisters.
Oh,
all
brilliant.
Of them.
Okay. And they are all as, how can I use this word? What word shall I use to describe you?
They're quiet and delicate and all as fun
and adventurous as you, I take it.
Well, we have the same parents, so I take it they might have some of my traits.
All right, okay. So listen, the girls are going to be out hitching from Carndonagh, kicking off at 10 and 10:30. And it's all for a bit of fun and it's all for a bit of crack. It's today and tomorrow. It's a loop today, leaving Carndonagh at 10, back at Carndonagh at 10, and then off again tomorrow morning at 10?
Yes. We're away again at 10 and then back at 6 again.
Very good.
That's the whole idea.
And any end of competition fun planned for tomorrow night?
Oh, no, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
We've got our swimming gear with us, so we'll be going swimming as well by the looks of things.
Excellent stuff. Sounds good, Deirdre. Listen, have fun. Keep us updated.
I certainly will.
All right.
Just let me say, it's not the destinations, it's the journey that we're making.
Well, that's it. And isn't that like life as well, too, sometimes?
That's life.
Competition imitating life. Lovely stuff, Deirdre. Have lots of fun. Take care of yourselves. And I'm sure the people of Donegal and Anishon will be very generous in their lifts. Bye-bye. Okay, that is Deirdre setting off thumbing for a bit of fun. And maybe Deirdre or some of her mates will join our great Spot the Sun competition we've got running over the next wee while. The sun is due to show its face at some point in different parts of this region, of course. And we're asking you, if you spot the sun, take a lovely wee photo and WhatsApp it to us on 086 60 25000. It can be you, your family, your dog, or just the sun and the scenery. It's completely up to you. Now, you can WhatsApp us on 086 60 25000 with your picture or post it on our socials, or your socials, sorry, with the hashtag Highland Sun Search. So you can just post it on your own pages. We'll be able to find it through the hashtag search. The sun must be found in the northwest to qualify for the reward, but I'd be pretty flexible on that, to be honest with you. We're a global station now, but that's up to the organisers, of course. Winners will be chosen at random throughout the course of the week, and we've teamed up with some fantastic local businesses who are going to be awarded vouchers to some lucky participants. So just get involved, have a little bit of fun with it. Okay, that's good. I'll mention that again a little later on, perhaps. 086 60 25,000, as I mentioned, that is the number for that competition, but also all of your other communications with us. And if you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25,000. Right, I think I can say good morning now to Niall Sargent, who's current affairs correspondent at The Currency. Niall, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and thank you so very much for joining us. Right. You've been reporting that European Commission has opened infringement proceeding against Ireland over concerns that EU rules on market surveillance of construction products are not being correctly enforced. So what's the background to where we're at now, Niall?
Yeah, so this is possibly the first step in a lengthy legal process. So for listeners who might not be aware of the process, this is the first step in a potential legal challenge by the European Commission. So they've sent a letter of formal notice to the Irish government or the Irish state in relation to this issue that they see with the construction products regulation and how it's actually been enacted and enforced within Ireland. After this stage, the government will be given a chance to 2 months to give their response to these concerns raised. If the Commission isn't satisfied after that phase, they can issue what is then the next stage, a reasoned opinion, where they more clearly point out where they see that Ireland may be, or where they believe Ireland is in breach of these regulations. After that, another 2 months, if they're not satisfied, then it's at the stage where there's a potential that it could go before the Court of Justice of the European Union, which obviously, if that were to happen and goes against Ireland, there could be massive fines and issues in that regard, and things would have to change in terms of the national enforcement of those European laws. That may not happen. It's a long way away, but I think, you know, anyone who was clued in any way would have an understanding this case is very highly linked to the Mike crisis, which obviously has had a massive impact in Donegal. So even if I think this is a potential long-term legal case, more than likely, I think activists in Donegal and other counties will be well prepared for it, because they have been pushing for changes for quite a period of time. And we didn't really go into it too much in the article, but obviously, you know, between the Mike Action Group and other activists in Donegal in particular, they have been pushing quite a lot within Europe in this regard. And they did put in a formal request or complaint to the European Commission at the start of this year that it's not listed in the European Commission's information. They only put out a little bit of information this week about the case, but that has clearly played a role in leading to where we are now. So first step in probably a long legal case ahead.
And I presume the European Commission wouldn't take this type of action or start these type of proceedings willy-nilly. It would be sort of evidence-based. You can't petition them, can you, to sort of begin proceedings against a country without them believing there is potentially a case to answer?
No, they will have examined this pretty thoroughly, and like in this case, it's, you know, they can't just go straight to a legal challenge. This is they have to give member states an opportunity to come back. At this stage, they're highlighting the concerns that have probably, you know, been raised to them through petitions, through those submissions from individuals within Ireland about this issue. But I mean, from the European perspective, rules and regulations are very strict. They're very clear in the construction products regulation, which this formal notice is about. You know, they're highlighting concerns of how Ireland is essentially monitoring or market surveillance for construction products that are manufactured and put on the market here. So the way, you know, the regulations pretty much outline that you should be doing checks at an earlier stage in the construction process of these materials. However, in Ireland, the only checks we really are making in terms of, you know, the surveillance of those products is in the finished stage. Mm-hmm. So when they're actually within the volume of the house or finished construction or infrastructure project. So they're not satisfied with that. And that is the area that they want to be examined.
There are still some question marks over surveillance in terms of, you know, site visits and the scrutiny that most people expect to be there, whether it is there or not. But if the government were, and we can't obviously try the whole thing here, not try it, but sorted out here. But if they say, look, obviously there's been historical issues, but we've put this in place and that in place and done in place, it'll never happen again. Does that answer perhaps the European questions, or will there be a historic nature to this as well? In other words, can they say, well, actually, back in 2003, just picking a date, a year out of my head, you were not properly surveilling the market. This was the consequences. And, you know, these are our findings.
It would be more basing the argument on what is happening, you know, what is the current state of play. But I think all of that would be taken into account. I know the submission that was put forward by the Mike Action Group and other individuals outlaid concerns over, say, the past two decades or so in terms of how we're regulating. But it'll all be taken into account. And I think what will probably be taken into account, like you said, there is actually even those inspections or checks on the building themselves. We're not doing very well in that. Like, the latest data from the National Oversight and Audit Commission shows that county councils on average are inspecting about 12 to 15% of new bills. And if you look, that latest data is from 2022, I think. So if you look at that, even it's below that. It's 7% in Mayo, 11% in Donegal. And they're both countries now who are involved in the micro redress scheme. So there's issues on that scale. And that's not what this case is about. But obviously, those things may be factored in. But it shows the, I guess, the wider issues that have been highlighted, particularly by the communities in Donegal over the last number of years of the system probably needs a fairly strong overhaul. And you're hearing that even from the Society of Chartered Surveyors in Ireland. Their new president recently said that they, you know, we need a complete overhaul of building regulation enforcement within Ireland.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think people might quite rightly want to know what is the government or what are the authorities doing to ensure that if someone is rebuilding their home that was, you know, crumbling, if they're building them with blocks that were manufactured recently, what level of oversight is to ensure that they're not building with blocks that could fail again into the future? And I think the Irish authorities' response will be interesting. As you outlined, they've got 2 months to send a detailed reply answering the questions posed to them. That's going to be fascinating, I think. Well, it should be. I mean, obviously, there could be a bit of word acrobatics and all that kind of stuff. But Niall, at the end of the day, you'd hope they'd be insightful.
I'd hope so. I mean, one of the problems at the moment is the European Commission, when they put out the details of these infringement procedures, they give very scant information as to what exactly they're putting forward to the government. And, you know, I've tried in the past on other cases through Freedom of Information to get the documents. But until probably the proceedings were over, at whatever stage they are completed, we won't get sight or sound of that. But I would expect, like in other cases, this would probably put a rocket up the government to see how they can change the system. I mean, it would make sense, you would expect, from in terms of true transposition of those regulations, that checks would be made, surveillance would be made when, you know, at the product manufacturer, before the manufacturing stage, for checking of the materials to make sure there's no defects. We need to go earlier. It's very clear from what has happened with the pyrite scandal, now with the mica scandal, because we're facing into a situation where the government says, through the redress scheme, there's about 2.7 billion to cover 7,500 homes. But I mean, those figures came out before Sligo was recently joined into the scheme. We had documents previously released to us, an expert engineer's report. They estimate at least 200 to 300 private homes in Sligo, you know, are going to be impacted. We know the scale in Donegal, in Clare, in Limerick, in Mayo. There's other counties, county councils in Fingal, Carlow and Wexford also want to get in on the scheme. So, you know, you have to take the actions now, I suppose, so these problems don't emerge again in 10 or 20 years. And you would expect that by the European Commission taking these proceedings, and also, you know, with due respect to the activists and the communities in Donegal who've been banging the drum about this for so long now, their continued efforts would, you presume, put a bit of pressure as well and gain traction politically.
Okay, brilliant stuff, Niall. How can people access The Currency? Maybe read the original article, follow your coverage and the rest of the stuff you write about.
Yeah, we're on it's thecurrency.news. We're behind a paywall, so if anyone wants to subscribe, they are absolutely more than welcome. We've been covering the Mike issue quite a bit, particularly through the legal side of things, the legal cases that are ongoing, which, you know, they will continue. There's dozens of families involved. So you can follow us there, or it's Niall underscore Sargent on Twitter and other social media, or X, as you call it.
Indeed. Listen, great stuff, Niall. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Niall Sargent there, current affairs correspondent at The Currency. Good morning, Gafter. Looking forward to hearing the Marys on this morning. Fair play to them all. I remember listening in from Portugal when my niece Caitlin Finn entered 2 years ago as the London Mary and went on to win it. We had an amazing weekend in Dalloa. The festival is a credit to Gavin and all the committee. Indeed, that's come on. Caroline, is that after 11, is it? So after 11 o'clock. And obviously, as regulars would know, you can watch it on Facebook and YouTube as well, because all 14 and the current Mary will be in. Could you please tell everyone there is no through traffic on the N56 in Dunkaneely? Local diversions are in place, but HGVs have a bigger diversion. Road is closed to all traffic indeed, and it's a road that's busy with HGV traffic. I can understand that. A caller has been 30 years driving, never had a collision. What happened to the older drivers? It's only a money-making issue. A lot of older drivers in rural areas that never had an accident in all these years of driving, it seems unfair to ask them to resit a two-hour test. That's some of the proposals we've been receiving as to how we can improve the safety on our roads. And I'm not attributing any blame or responsibility or in trying to be in any way insensitive, but even just yesterday afternoon, we have that serious collision in Dunkaneely. There was another collision in Drumkeen and a collision in Barnes Moor Gap as well, all in the space of 2 or 3 hours in our tiny little county. So we just really all have to be extra, extra vigilant. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, just to let you know that our gardener, Paul McLaughlin from Ballagher Garden Centre, will be in studio at 10:30 a.m. answering any questions that you might have. Always good to get that information into us as soon as possible and we can get through your questions. So anything, you know, the usual stuff, your lawn, your drive, your window pots, maybe you've got a little balcony, or maybe it's an internal space you want to add a little bit of colour to, maybe it's not too late. What is the listener's opinion on the mockery of the Last Supper and the opening of the Olympics in France? Seems to be getting very little coverage locally. We discussed it for an hour yesterday on the programme. I understand that you can't listen every day, but it was if you want to listen to the podcast of the first hour yesterday and comments throughout the show, it was covered. It was covered extensively. So tune into that if you wish. Hi, Greg. The money you pay to head away here in Ireland, you would be cheaper putting that extra few euro to go to a foreign holiday. Yeah, but that's what you would perhaps presume. I certainly wouldn't encourage people to do that, but it's up to everyone to do what they want to do with their money. But the statistics show that more people are staying at home than are, not more people. Yes, more people than normally are holidaying at home, but still lots of people heading away. Another texter says, Letterkenny bus station is being used as a homeless shelter. The smell in the place is terrible. Donegal people deserve better than this. This is going on 6 months. Nobody's doing anything about it. There is a man who is inside there. There's no law and order in Letterkenny, says a listener there. First time I've heard about that, to be honest with you. Hi, Greg. Did you hear the latest? They're going to put water pipes in the coming out lane at the Polestar, head out by the Dry Arch roundabout after putting a new footpath and cycle lane. Good planning. We had that yesterday. So my curiosity was piqued because my understanding was there might have been some work done and then it was delayed whilst the pipes were being laid. My understanding was that was already done. So when I heard that from a listener, I was like, what? Okay, we'll check into that. So we did, as we do. And we got on to Donegal County Council. They're not in receipt of any application from Ishka Éireann to install further water pipes in the N56 four-lane road or aware of any plans for same. So there you go. It's not happening. Viola McSherry. Good morning, Viola.
Good morning.
Congratulations. How are you feeling, Viola? And how's Mona?
We're feeling great. I'm not sure how Mona is because we haven't seen her, but I'm sure she's over the moon as well.
What an amazing achievement from Mona. And I'm sure you're fully aware, and I know you've been speaking to other radio stations, but it's given the country such a lift. Everyone so proud of her amazing achievement.
We're absolutely delighted that Mona could give this to Ireland. And it's just, we're all buzzing here in Paris. We're still buzzing.
I heard her say in a post-race interview that she was proud of herself, and sometimes you don't hear athletes say that as much as they should. I love that, you know, that she was proud of herself, she was proud for her family and proud of her country.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, they might think it and it never comes out.
Yeah.
But it's great that she said it there last night, and I think she can be absolutely proud of herself.
Camille, how are you watching it? I mean, it's so fleeting and it's so nerve-wracking for just us. What's it like for you, Viola?
Yeah, it's absolutely nerve-wracking. Such a short race. Like, it literally just has a little bit over a minute, and you're trying to focus on Mona and see what the other girls are doing as well. And it was just such a tight race. When we looked up on the leaderboard afterwards, oh my God, how tight can it be? And she was just got there and just put the hands on the wall. Absolutely fantastic.
I mean, the margins are so tight. It would make you wonder how they actually used to figure out who would win in the past, to be honest with you. But the margins are so...
Exactly. It could have been 3 medals years ago. Like, you know, it could have been 3 bronze medals because you wouldn't have been able to separate them.
Yeah. And the celebrations have to wait, of course, because Mona is still full on in competition mode, because she's not a one-trick pony. There's more competition to come.
Yeah, there's more. Tomorrow morning, she'll be back in the pool for the 200 breaststroke heat. And then on the 3rd, the girls are doing a mixed medley relay, and Mona, of course, is doing the breaststroke leg. And we're absolutely delighted that the girls can finish off the whole competition with a relay. It'll be a fantastic experience for them all.
And, of course, there's that Donegal connection. We don't want to be too parochial either, Viola, but Mona did a lot of her early training in Ballyshannon.
That's true. Yeah, Grace prepared her in Ballyshannon, and then we handed her over to Tennessee, and Matt's done a fantastic job there. And she just feels so at home there in Tennessee as well. So it's an effort of a lot of people. It's just not herself. There's a lot of people behind her too, and we would love to thank them all.
What is it in her personality, or I don't know if it's personality, but within her, that she is so mentally strong, you know, to overcome water going into the goggles, to be able to kick on like she did? We could be talking about a gold medal, and we may yet, who's to say, but like, what does she have that separates her from the rest of us?
She is a really determined person. From, I mean, when she was a baby, up through a toddler, young person, and now a woman, she really is very, very determined and driven. Like, you know, once she has a mindset on something, she's going to go out and achieve it.
Right. I just want you to give me a little bit of hope with my 3-year-old then. So if he's not doing what I tell him to do, he may eventually be an Olympic champion. Is that what we're talking about?
Maybe, yeah. But, okay. You know, isn't it lovely that Mona pointed out this yesterday? She got the bronze medal, and it by no means was a perfect race. So it's not, you don't have to, I mean, obviously you strive for perfection all the time, but sometimes it doesn't work out, and then you're still there. You know, it can happen. It can happen for anybody. And she's coming from such a small village. You know, it's fantastic to see that for all the young people in Ireland. You don't have to be there in Limerick, in Dublin. You know, it can work from a small pace.
Exactly. And you know what was lovely as well, and it'll mean so much to the locality, in all the heat of the excitement and everything, she still remembered to mention home, and it's so important, isn't it? And she'd be forgiven for not, but she did, and she's going to be an inspiration, and I'm sure she's already inspiring the next generation. Viola, I know you're
really
busy. It's been lovely speaking to you. Thank you so very much, and passing our love and how proud we are to Mona. I'm sure you will enjoy the rest of the competition, Viola.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, dear. Okay, Viola McSherry there. Mum to Mona McSherry, speaking to us from Paris, on scene, of course, where the competition is ongoing, hence the bit of background noise. Wonderful for Mona. And as I say, you know, everyone's different. Not everyone's a great personality. They can be a great competitor. But Mona has it all, doesn't she? She certainly has both. Right, okay.
Join us at CFC Interiors Campsie Derry this Saturday for our big summer blowout. Huge reductions across all departments, including sofas, beds and furniture. Everything must go, with amazing discounts of up to 70% off. Start Saturday for 1 week only at CFC Interiors Campsie Derry.
Donegal County Council is hosting an information evening to inform and provide details of a proposed development involving a change of the N15 R232 Lahey Junction to a roundabout. This event will be held on Tuesday, 30th of July from 4pm to 8pm at Lahey Hall. The project is currently out to public consultation, and plans and particulars can be viewed online via the council website or at the offices of Donegal County Council in Lifford or Donegal Town.
Join us at the Lennon Festival Rimeldon from the 4th to the 15th of July. Enjoy live music from the Tumbling Paddies, Robert Mazzell, Jimmy Buckley and more. Don't miss out on family fun and exciting events like the Soapbox Derby, kayak fun and a spectacular fireworks display. See Lennon Festival on Facebook for a full list of events.
Highland Radio weather updates brought to you by McElhenney's. Support a local Donegal business with McElhenney's. From fashion to home essentials, find everything you need for any occasion. Shop McElhenney's Bally Buffet for quality you can trust.
Right, any patches of mist and fog will clear later this morning. Today, there'll be a mix of cloud and sunny periods. There'll be isolated light rain or drizzle in the west at first, but this will clear away through the afternoon. Temperatures 17 to 20 degrees, and it's going to be, nice again tomorrow. I don't know about you guys, but I am being absolutely hammered with scam calls about we have a company and do you want to invest in the companies? My phone's gone 3 times already this morning, and they're cloning Irish mobile numbers. So obviously they ain't legit. But anyway, it's just a real pain and there's not much you can do about it. Just to remind you once again, Paul McLaughlin from Ballacter Garden Centre. He's going to be in studio 10:30 taking your gardening questions. Then after, it's actually a really busy last couple of hours. So we've got Community Garden Information just after 10. We've got Paul in at 10:30. And then we've got the entrance to the Mary from Dunloe competition joining us after 11. You can watch all of that on our social media, YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, on your smart TV or Fire Stick if you're at home. And also on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. Two children dead and 9 injured after a mass stabbing in England yesterday at a birthday party at the hands, unfortunately there was a tweet that went out and it's been just taken as fact that the person responsible, and my concern is the injured children, to be honest, two dead children, 9 injured, rather than feeding it into the culture wars. I don't know what colour his skin is. It doesn't really matter to me. He was born in Cardiff, and mental health issues. Lots of people have mental health issues and don't go on to do things like that. But unfortunately, the way we are now, we don't even take a breath. We don't even take a breath to think of the terrible loss of innocent young life. It's straight into how can this be weaponized to discuss something I'm very passionate about. And I get that, right? But it's just something I'm not terribly comfortable with. I was just thinking on the parents and those young innocent angels just out dancing to Taylor Swift. It wasn't a birthday party, I don't think. But the person was born in Cardiff. As I say, I don't know what his race is or whatever. He was a 17-year-old boy. And that's in no way to defend his vile actions. Momentous day for the Defective Concrete campaign. If the Irish government are found to have been remiss in their legal responsibility to protect consumers from defective concrete products entering the marketplace, the implications for current legal cases cannot be understated. Okay, indeed. And that's the one thing I was kind of interested in. You know, what are the consequences? What are the ramifications? And I suppose in terms of the ongoing legal cases, there's bound to be some. Hi, Greg. How does a learner driver in Malinhead get practice on a motorway? Well, you can't, obviously. That's the bottom line. But there are virtual ways of doing so, where you could sit a driver in and saying this is how you behave. Obviously, you couldn't get learned practice, but is there any real reference to it at all in the driving test? But geographical issues they've overcome in different countries. Why are the council allowing defective concrete block property to be reconstructed with blocks that are national standard that aren't or are national standard tested? Oh, they are. Yet they won't build their own properties with this. So the council aware of something wrong with materials approved by the national standard? If they won't use it for council builds, but it is approved for defective block homeowners, I presume in terms of sourcing community, sourcing products, the council have to go through a tendering process. And if we're talking about rebuilding council property, I imagine there's a tendering process that is open, and then they can select from that. Staying with defective concrete, these are some that we didn't get to yesterday. I recently had a meeting with one of the facilitators advising what we need to do at the start. While very friendly and helpful, I did find them quite forceful in the advice. They referred to a lot of scaremongering about the scheme, how the issue is often politicised and that even this group is not always factual, claiming it's a good scheme. It's not perfect, but the most people on it, 80% are happy with it. Is this fair? Is it their place to make these comments? I don't know. That is the feeling, and we express that feeling as well. You know, we've spoken to, particularly during the debates, a lot of councillors, government councillors, were saying, look, this is a good scheme. It's not perfect. We're going to work in it as we move forward. We're going to increase caps and change the IS 465 and so on and so forth. So there are people that genuinely believe it is a good scheme as well. Whether it's up to a facilitator to express that or not, I'm not really sure. Now, a caller says, I pay on a monthly basis to have my bins collected. Five times in the last 5 months, they've not been lifted. When I call up and complain, she gets the next month free, but I'm sick of it. It appears that because I'm the only house in one estate, they drive on. Can I do anything about this? It's so frustrating. Are there any other bin companies that you can work with? Is there any competition in the area? Like, all your other people around you, who's collecting their bins? I'd go to that company if it were me. if you're the only house in the estate that this one company lifts from, go to the company where everyone else has their bins with. I'm not being facetious in any way, shape or form in relation to that. Now, also, we were talking to a lady yesterday about her experience on a train. There were an older group of gentlemen from a club who were hard of hearing and moot, she said. And then a group of young fellas come on the train and the older guys were sitting in their reserved seats. And they were reserved for that group who worked with a company in Ireland. And the young fellas, or younger fellas, made the older guys get up out of their seats. And the question was stated, you know, is this a sign that we are losing respect for the older generation? So some of you commented on social media as well, and I want to include those comments on the show. Donald said, there is a balance to be struck here. When you pay for your train ticket, you're offered the option to book specific seats, sometimes at a premium. Generally, the lights above the seats indicate which seats are available. Sometime, if it's work colleagues, they sit together as they'll discuss work, business, on the way to a meeting, office, etc. Because it's efficient use of time, families will select specific seats so they can all sit together. If it's a disabled space or close to WC facilities or specific direction seats, sometimes people don't like to travel backwards. Or if the person has a mobility issue, then discretion and consideration should be given. However, when seats are booked specifically, there is usually a reason behind it. Yes, and indeed, and I think the company name was on these seats, Donal, so you're right in that regard. It still is the question. I mean, if I walked in there, and I'm no saint, and I never tried to portray myself as same, but if I walked in and there was a group of older guys, these were in their 80s, and they were sitting in my seat, I think I wouldn't challenge them. I'd let them sit there. But I also get where you're coming from, Donal. Kerry said, I had to stand from Dundalk to Dublin with three young kids not too long ago because the seats I booked had been taken by well-capable elderly people and they refused to move. This is the flip side. There were no other seats available on the train. If you've pre-booked your seats, then in certain circumstances, I don't agree that we should have to give up the seat. The elderly can very easily pre-book their own seats when booking the train. Again, Kerry, you make a decent point there. Let me see. Hi, Greg. Traffic delays yesterday were desperate between Ballybuffet and Donegal Town at McGrory's Bray traffic lights. We were in the queue on the Ballybuffet side for 45 minutes. There were many people turned and went back. I don't know why this bit of work is taking so long, but I do hope a person with a bit of common sense will take away the traffic lights before the upcoming bank holiday weekend. Very, very off-putting, especially for people visiting the county. Great show. Listen every day. Thank you. Well, we might actually check to see what the bank holiday plans are for those traffic lights. Did anyone see Susan Coleman's Grand Day Out on Channel 5 last Thursday night? If not, check it out. It showcased the Northwest fabulously and better than any other programme I've seen. I salute this lady and her team. Thank you for reading my text. I didn't see it, but I did see it posted on Facebook, if that makes sense. A few from Malin were sharing it, so I didn't see the programme itself. And then there was a dingle up in Malin as well, and I'm not being disrespectful. I don't remember her name. I think her name first name's Lisa. On Emmerdale, I believe she's a dingle. She was up in Malin Head, gave us great publicity. Another box ticked, she says, as she was up there with her partner. So all these things help. They all feed into the Donegal product, the brand, so to speak. Right. Another young lad killed on an e-scooter yesterday in Kilkenny. These are lethal weapons and they're still swissing about our pavements in Buncrana, which is against the law, and without headgear. This must stop before anyone else is killed or injured. Not referencing, I don't know what happened to that young lad other than that it was incredibly sad. I don't know the circumstances of it. But there's something about this legislation that doesn't add up for me, right? Because e-scooters are supposed to be used like bicycles. So they are legal for people to ride on the road. In fact, it's illegal for them to, they're discouraged from cycling on the footpath. So they're supposed to be on the road. They shouldn't be on the footpath. People are walking, prams, dogs, wheelchairs, all that kind of stuff, right? But this, they look very vulnerable on the roads, the e-scooters. You know, whatever about a bike, it takes up a certain length. The cyclist's up a certain height, almost takes up a certain width because their knees are somewhat apart. But there's something about those e-scooters. They look incredibly, incredibly vulnerable on the road and hard to see. And I just wonder, and I'd be interested in your views out there, if it's something that maybe we need to re-look at. I would not fancy riding a scooter on the road. I kind of thought I might, but when I see them, I'm going, nah, that wouldn't be for me. But what do you think? 086 60 25,000. News and obituary notices, and then Community Garda information on the way, so please stay tuned.